What happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? Well, you discover whether the force is irresistible or whether the object is immovable, because something's going to happen. Now, in Exodus chapter 5 down to chapter 10, we see the irresistible force of God's power coming up against the immovable object of Pharaoh's heart. God has sent Moses and Aaron to declare to Pharaoh that he must let his people go. And we have seen that Pharaoh refused. He not only refused to let them go, but he refused to recognize the God who had sent them. Now, beginning back in Exodus 7 that we looked at last week, right through to chapter 14, we have this great contest between God and Pharaoh. Now, of course, there's only going to be one winner. There's no surprise about who's going to win. Pharaoh tries to resist God, but it was in vain. God has his way. Pharaoh will let the children of Israel go. The force of God is irresistible, and Pharaoh would turn out to be movable. And as a result, it will end in disaster for Pharaoh and for Egypt. Now, many today seek to resist the power of God. Some do this by denying that God exists. Others do it by denying that God has the right to tell us how we should live our lives. But my friends, I need to tell you, resistance is futile. It's pointless. God will have his way. And if we don't bend the knee to the Lord Jesus in this life, we will all bend the knee to the Lord Jesus in the next, on the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, no one denies the existence of God. No one will deny God's irresistible power. No one will deny that God has the right to judge. Now, my friends, I don't want you to find this out on the day of judgment, because then it's too late. This morning I want to show you how foolish it is to resist God. Because if we resist God, it will simply take us to the lake of fire. Now, God sends 9 plagues to make Pharaoh change his mind and let the people go. Pharaoh, we're going to see, had 9 opportunities to give in to God, to submit to his authority. 9 times God showed his patience to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh spurned those 9 opportunities. When it came to the 10th plague, it was too late. All it meant was that the 9 plagues were stepping stones that took him down to hell. And when the 10th plague came, it was too late. The door was closed. Now, what about us? Well, my friend, God has issued a command to all of us. In fact, God has issued a command to every human being on the whole planet who has ever lived. And what is this command? Well, the words of Jesus sum it up. Turn with me in the New Testament to Mark in chapter 1. It's on page 882. Mark and chapter 1. And here's a summary of God's command to every single human being, however young you are and however old you are. And this is the command, Mark 1, verse 15. Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." There it is. Repent of your sins and believe the good news that Jesus came into the world to save you from your sins. That is God's command to us. Now this morning, we're going to look at all of these nine plagues, quite briefly and quickly, because all of the plagues have the same message for us. Because we will see that they show nine ways that God speaks to us today, urging us to repent and believe in Jesus. Now, God was very gracious to Pharaoh. He gave him nine opportunities to repent and to trust God and to obey God. And God is gracious to us. God is so long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should receive eternal life. So the title of this sermon is Don't Resist the Lord. And it will have nine brief points as we look briefly at each of these first nine plagues. So here's the first point, my friends. Don't ignore God's message. This is what Pharaoh did when the first plague struck. Turn to Exodus chapter 7. We read it in verses 20 and 21. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The river Nile brought life to Egypt. In fact, the river Nile was worshipped as a god by the Egyptians. But now God made the river foul under this first plague. Instead of bringing life, it brought death. Now what would Pharaoh do? Look at verse 23 of chapter 7. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. His heart was not moved. He just turned his back on what had happened. He ignored what he saw. He ignored what God was saying to him. My friends, don't make the same mistake. Almost every Sunday, you come to church and you would hear this message from me again and again. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. You will hear that it's the only way to be saved from your sins. And you understand it. You know you're a sinner. Don't ignore this message. Don't turn your back on it and walk away as you go home. Now is the time to repent. Now we come to the second plague. And the message from the second plague is this. Don't break your promises to God. The second plague was the plague of frogs. And frogs were a symbol of life and fertility to the Egyptians. Again, they worshipped them as gods. And normally they were glad to see frogs because it meant there was plenty of water everywhere. But not this time, because now there were frogs everywhere. Look what happened in Exodus 8, verses 5 and 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up to the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. There were frogs everywhere. They were in the fields, in people's homes. They were in the bedrooms, in the shops, in the streets. There were so many it made life unbearable. How does Pharaoh react? Well, he buries his pride and asks Moses to remove the plague. And he promises, yes, okay, I'll let the people go. Look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And God was gracious. All the frogs suddenly died, except for those in the river Nile. And now there were dead frogs everywhere, and there was a terrible stench. But then what does Pharaoh do? He changes his mind. Look at verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Now, it may be that one Sunday, as you're here listening to the Word of God, your heart is moved. Maybe for the first time you see your sins. You realize you're not a good person. And God is waking you up, your conscience. And it's quite painful. And maybe brings a tear to your eye. And you want relief. So you turn to God and you promise, "Now, yes, oh God, take away this pain, and I will start to follow you and believe him." But then the service ends, and you start to talk to your friends, and your thought about following Jesus drifts away. You start playing your video game, or you start to think about your job or your studies, and all thought of getting right with God is forgotten. My friends, don't break your promises to God. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't return to your old ways. Because if you do, your heart may become hardened. And you'll be one step closer to hell. Here's the third point. Don't ignore the clear evidence that God is at work. This is the lesson from the third plague, the plague of lice in Exodus 8. Now it becomes personal because the lice covered not only the animals but the people. Look at Exodus 8, verse 16 and 17. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now even the magicians of Pharaoh were impressed at this miracle. They told Pharaoh in verse 19, "This is the finger of God." They knew that it was God at work. Only God could do this. They couldn't do it. Now, how did Pharaoh react to this clear and unmistakable evidence that God was at work? Look at verse 19. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. My friends, don't make the same mistake. God may, in his mercy, show you clear evidence that he is alive and at work. Maybe you know there's somebody in the church that we've been praying for, somebody who's sick, and they're wonderfully healed. Don't ignore such clear evidence that God is at work. Or maybe you have a friend, a brother or sister, a friend who suddenly repents of their sins and believes on the Lord Jesus. And they're baptized. And when you look at them, you see they're different. Something's happened. Now they're kind to you and loving to you. Wow, something's happened. Now they love to follow Jesus. Now they love to read their Bible, and you see them reading and praying. They love coming to church, and you're impressed. Wow, this person's life's been turned upside down. Jesus must be real. You have clear evidence that God is at work. Clear evidence that God can save people just like you. Don't ignore such clear evidence. This room is full of people who give clear evidence that God can save sinners. Or maybe it's something closer to home for you. Maybe secretly, you've actually prayed to God. You never told anybody about it because you're a bit embarrassed about it. But you prayed to God about something. You were in such a terrible state you didn't know what else to do. And then God answered that prayer. God helped you through your difficulty or your trial, or helped you with passing an exam, whatever it was. Here is clear evidence God is at work. Don't ignore it. See the finger of God. and then respond by repenting and believing in Jesus. Now we come to the fourth point. Don't ever try to bargain with God. Don't try to bargain with God. That's what we learn from the fourth plague, the plague of flies. Exodus 8, verses 20 to 21. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and as he comes out of the water, then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand.'" Now, up to this point, Pharaoh might have thought that these plagues were just natural events. But to show this was not the case, this plague only affected the Egyptians. The place where the Israelites lived, Goshen, they had no swarm of flies. Not one fly, as it were, crossed the border into Goshen where they were. There was a clear distinction. Now, this was an awful plague. Flies, as you know, give rise to disease. And in an age when there was very few cures from illness, this would have terrified the people. And actually, Pharaoh was shocked, truly shocked. And he tries to compromise in verse 25. He suggests that the Hebrews should just hold their feasts within the land of Egypt. But Moses refuses to accept this. God had commanded, "Let my people go." And that meant, "Let my people go." He tried to compromise, but it didn't work. When your life becomes difficult, have you tried to bargain with God? Maybe you're a young person really wanting to pass some exam. So you say to God, "If I pass my exam, then I'll live a good Christian life." Or maybe somebody is troubling you at work or at home or at college. So you pray to God to take that person away and deal with the problem. And if you do, you say, "Yes, then I'll follow you." Friends, this doesn't work with God. Don't try to bargain with God. God has issued your command. Repent and believe. And this command means, very simply, you must surrender to him completely. There's no bargaining with God. When Jesus said, "Repent and believe," he didn't say, "Oh, come to me and let's talk about it and we'll come to a compromise." He says, "Repent and believe." God wants the whole of your life. And if you won't give the whole of your life, he'll have none of your life. We need to repent. And we need to believe. Don't bargain with God. What does the fifth plague teach us? Don't let your heart become hard towards God. We looked at this last week. But that's what the fifth plague tells us in Exodus 9. And this plague involved all the domestic animals of the Egyptians. They received a severe pestilence. It was so severe that within a day all the livestock of the Egyptians died. Now, in those days, livestock for most Egyptians would have been like their bank account. This showed how wealthy you were. You know, today people might say, "Well, I show my wealth by how many noughts I have on my francs in my bank account. So if I've got 1,000, that's more than 100. Or 10,000 is more than 1,000. In those days, it was about how many cattle you had. You've got one cattle, cow, you're not very wealthy. Got 10? That's not so bad. Got 100? You're doing pretty well. You got 1,000? Well, there's your pension fund. That suddenly this was all gone. Like all the money in your bank account just disappearing overnight. Gone. All was lost. Now, my friends, sometimes if you keep resisting the calls of the Lord, if you keep resisting when you know you should repent and believe, he may send great trials upon you like this trial. He may take away from you those very things that you've been trusting in, that you really enjoy doing. I don't know what it might be for you, but it could be anything. It could be your hobby. It could be your health. Because, my friends, if we don't listen to the gentle whispers of God through his word, sometimes he shouts at us through the harsh judgment of calamities and disasters. You may lose your job. You may lose your money. And God is saying to you, come to me. Now, what effect did this have on Pharaoh? None at all. In Exodus 9, verse 7, we read that Pharaoh's heart became hard and he did not let the people go. I want you to remember that there is no such thing as natural disasters. God has planned all things, and God allows bad things to happen to you and me for a reason. And if you're not a Christian, it is to wake you up. It is God's megaphone shouting to you, repent and believe before it's too late. Listen to God through your trials. Turn to God through your trials, and don't let your heart become hard, because that's a terrible place to be in. What's the lesson from the sixth plague? Don't ignore your sins if God shows them to you. In Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 to 12, we have the plague of boils. Now, this plague affected all the children of Israel, all the Egyptians, I'm sorry. It was so disfiguring that they didn't want to see each other. Here is a young lady. She's hoping to be married to this young man. But now she doesn't want to see him because she's covered with boils. And here's the young man. And he doesn't want to see the young lady because she is covered with boils. Everybody just wanted to stay at home. They were so embarrassed how they looked. What was God doing by this plague? He was making Pharaoh and all the Egyptians look at themselves. And what did they see? They would see themselves physically as God sees them spiritually. In the book of Leviticus, we learn that those who have boils were counted as unclean. And they were unclean. And the boils on Pharaoh's face should have reminded him of the boils of sin in his heart. But it had no effect. Look at Exodus 9, verse 12. What do we read? But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. He ignored what he saw about himself. Maybe, my friends, as you sit here Sunday by Sunday, one Sunday, you hear somebody talking about sin and it touches you and you feel guilty and your conscience shows you your sin and you begin to see this sin in your heart and it's not very comfortable. But don't be surprised if this happens. But please don't do what Pharaoh did. Do not start to think, well, I'm not as bad as other people. That's not the point. You sinned enough to deserve hell. We all have. And do not think that God will overlook the sin in your heart. Because not one sin can ever go unpunished. Not one sin. And there's only two options with this punishment that our sin deserves. Either you must pay and be punished for your sin. Or if you believe in Jesus, praise God, he will pay the punishment for you. There's the only two options. That's why everybody in the world is in two camps. They're either saved or they're lost. They're either covered by the blood of Christ or they're not. But my friends, I urge you to look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your life. See your sins. And see that God hates those sins. And see that God will judge those sins. And see that the only way to have your sins forgiven is to come to Christ who died on the cross for you. What about the seventh plague, the plague of hail? This teaches us this. Don't be half-hearted in your repentance. Don't be half-hearted. The purpose of this plague was to show the power of God. Look at Exodus chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. We'll read it. This is what we read. But for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power to you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you do not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since the founding until now. Therefore send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. And when this hail came, it came with great thunderstorms, we're told. And the hail caused enormous damage throughout Egypt. Some years ago, I can't remember when it was, 20 years ago in Switzerland, there was a great hailstorm. And afterwards you saw evidence of it all over the place, in cars that had these dents in their bonnet and their boot. You could still drive them, but it had these great dents. Well, this was a hailstorm to end all hailstorm. It didn't just dent things, it killed things. Mighty hailstones. This was an unmistakable display of the great power of God, and even Pharaoh couldn't ignore it. And now Pharaoh comes to the closest point of bowing before God and letting the people go. Look at Exodus 9, verse 27 and 28. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, said to him, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering in hell, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. For the first time, finally, after seven plagues, Pharaoh admits his sin. He pleads that God will end the thundering, and he promises, yes, I'll let the people go. At last, we think, Pharaoh's come to his senses. But when the thunder and the hail ceased, what did Pharaoh do? He went back on his word. He forgot about his confession of sin, and he began to sin even more. Now, what was his problem? His problem was that his repentance was only half-hearted. It was only skin deep. As soon as the trial ended, his repentance ended. My friends, don't make the same mistake. Don't be half-hearted in your repentance. Don't repent one day and then repent of repenting the next day. Because you cannot have a foot in both camps. You cannot follow Christ and follow the world. You cannot love Christ and love your sins. You cannot repent of just some of your sins, but not repent of those darling sins that you love. To become a Christian means you fully, completely, and unreservedly confess your sins to God. And then you fully and completely say that you from now on will live for Christ. You need to surrender to him. Don't be half-hearted. Nobody is saved if they only half-heartedly repent. We're near the end. We come to the eighth plague. And what's the lesson here? Don't put more value on your possessions than on your soul. We come to the eighth plague, the plague of locusts. Moses and Aaron challenged Pharaoh in Exodus 10. We're just going to read verses 3 to 6. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one is able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat of every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were in the land, on the earth to this day." And Moses turned and went out from Pharaoh. This cloud of locusts devastated Egypt. Any crops that had survived the hail were destroyed. And the once beautiful landscape was totally destroyed. And now the servants of Moses, of Pharaoh, want him to relent. They could see the whole country was being destroyed. Egypt, that was probably at that time the wealthiest country in the world, was being brought to ruin. But when Pharaoh heard that Moses intended to take not just the Israelites, but also their own flocks, greed got the better of him. Look at verses 10 and 11 in Exodus 10. Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." And they were driven out of the Pharaoh's presence. The thought of losing not just his slaves, but also the animals that belonged to the Israelites was too much for him to bear. He refuses to let them go and drives Moses and Aaron out of his presence. Pharaoh's actions remind me of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. You remember what happened? He came to Jesus, fell at Jesus' feet. And what did he say? He said, "Lord, what must I do to receive eternal life?" And after a little conversation, Jesus told him what he had to do. He had to give up all his wealth, all his money, all his possessions, and follow Jesus. Why did Jesus say that? Because like Pharaoh, he loved his possessions and riches too much. They were more important to him than his soul. Please don't make the same mistake. If you become a Christian, the Lord may call you to give up everything. He may call you to give away all your wealth. He may call you to live in a different country, in a different place. But my friends, what is more important? Is it your wealth? Your possessions? Your iPhone? Your iPad? Your car? Your clothes? Your trainers? Or your soul? Which is more valuable? Look what Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 37. He said this. It's on page 891. Jesus said this. Mark 8, 37. Page 891. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What does it profit a man to be as rich as Elon Musk if he loses his soul? There's no profit at all." So now we come to the ninth plague, the ninth opportunity for Pharaoh to relent. What do we learn from this? Don't stay in the darkness. Come to the light. In Exodus chapter 10, we read about the plague of darkness. For 3 days, there was thick darkness over all the land of Egypt, except, of course, where the Israelites were living. Now imagine for a moment you are Pharaoh. There you are in your palace. And now it's so dark, you cannot see the end of your fingers. Now, Pharaoh, like any king in those days, what were they worried about? They were worried that somebody might come and kill them. But they couldn't see beyond the end of their fingers. He couldn't see his guards. The darkness means that he was left alone, completely alone, with his own thoughts. And maybe at some point you've come to that point. God may bring you to this point, to a point of darkness, a point where all you can do is think about yourself and your sin, and the world and this life seems dark. And I need to tell you, this is a good point to be at. There was a lady that came to see me in my church in England. And she said something like this. Oh, I'm too much of a sinner ever to be saved. And I thought she's close to the kingdom. Because if you come to this dark point of seeing the darkness of your sin and the darkness of your life without Christ, then God is urging you to come to the light. This is what the Lord offers. He offers to take us out of the darkness of our sinful heart, out of the darkness of this sinful world, and into the wonderful light of his love. And my dear friends, don't stay in the darkness. Come to the light. But how's Pharaoh going to react? He tries to bargain again. He says the people can go, but not their animals. And Moses says no, because again, there's no bargaining with God. And how does the story end? Very sadly, at the end of the 9th plague, Pharaoh not only refuses to let the people go, but he threatens to kill Moses if he ever sees him again. Exodus chapter 10. Verse 28. Exodus 10, verse 28. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you may see my face, you will die." And Moses now replies with the most solemn words in all of these chapters. Exodus 10, verse 29. "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." The patience of God has run out. Time has run out for Pharaoh. He will be given no more opportunity to obey the command of God to let the people go. And the same is true for you, my friends. One day, if you don't repent and believe, time will run out for you. One day, the patience of God will come to an end. But I thank God that as you're sitting with me in this room, that time has not yet come for you, because you're still alive. But don't delay. Don't resist the word of God. Don't resist the command of God. Repent of your sins and come to Christ. And come to Christ now, because today is the day of salvation. The day of salvation is never tomorrow. Why? Because you may not have a tomorrow. This could be your last day on the earth. And so the Bible always says, now is the time to get right with God. Don't put it off. Come because God commands you to come. Come because he loves you to come. Come because he's willing to forgive you. Come. Repent and believe, and God will abundantly pardon all your sins. Amen.